Cock fans, welcome to another edition of the Cock of the Walk podcast with your host Wesley Burris and my co-host Taylor Griggs. Coming off a disappointing weekend in Lexington, Kentucky, to say the least. Boy, what a bad football game the other day. I mean, it was, you know, I didn't have high expectations going in. I did feel like the Gamecocks could pull out a win. What you thought, what was your prediction? I can't really remember what you predicted. You predicted a W.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Gamecocks, the line went back and forth. I think we mentioned on last week's episode, it opened up as a pick 'em. Carolina immediately was favored by Monday night, late Monday night. I saw that flop by Wednesday, to Kentucky being a slight favorite. Back to Carolina being a favorite, back to Kentucky, and Saturday it wrapped up. I think, what did it end up? I think I had it at 2 or something like that, 2.5. You know, some things went wrong the other day. Gamecock Nation is in turmoil right now. A lot of injuries coming out of that ball game, a ton. Eldridge Thompson, EB, Jake was banged up, Jamias Williams. Another safety, I can't remember his name right now, to a backup. We just came out of this game back, banged up. It's at the wrong time, in my opinion, because we face a tough test this week with a well-rested Missouri Tigers football team, a team that I predicted to be a dark horse to win the East. I said early in the season I felt like it was a 4-team race. I think that has narrowed. It is now a 3-team race. Because Kentucky got into the mix, and we didn't.
And doesn't look like it's a
fluke.
No,
it doesn't. But the one question that I have, and we'll get into this a little bit later, a little bit in more in depth later, their quarterback, to me, I don't know if he can – if somebody can get in there and disrupt their run game, which I feel there are some teams on their schedule that can. They face the Aggies this weekend. That's a team I feel like can slow them down, has more athletic ability. And I think the Aggies were sleepwalking last week against Arkansas. They led the whole way. They were up big at one point. And they only won that game by a touchdown. But the Aggies are a good football team. Kentucky's a good football team, though. Kentucky beat us up physically the other night. The crazy thing is the stats weren't that far off. The score of 24-10, it should have been a way closer game. We made way too many mistakes in the first half, way too many mistakes late. That last, not the last drive, but the big drive towards the end where Jake threw the pick down in the end zone. Man, it was just a killer. 3 interceptions from him the other night. And, you know, he didn't have a clean pocket all night. I think a lot of people are being unfair to Jake a little bit, but I understand the frustration. My frustration is in the fact that we don't seem to have another quarterback that anybody trusts. So when you don't have that, it leads to question marks. What have you done in recruiting? Now, I heard the guys on the halftime show today say, you know, South Carolina's always around that 15 mark. That's not true. That's overestimating things. We're typically somewhere between 18 and 24 the last several years. In recruiting, which puts us about 8th or 9th in the SEC every season. And we're way ahead of Kentucky, who typically finishes somewhere around 12th in the league, 13th in the league in recruiting, Taylor. So if Kentucky can go out here with 40th, 45th ranked recruiting classes, beat South Carolina 5 years in a damn row, they just got the thumb on us. All of you guys know that. That really, really pisses me off. This is a team that I'm not going to say we should beat them all the time because I got in an argument with somebody the other day. Look, we're not – it was actually yesterday. We were only became a better football program than Kentucky under Lou Holtz. And Spurrier had success against him. We lost in 2010. We had a big lead. Lattimore got banged up in the first half, didn't play the second half, and we didn't score the rest of the game. And Kentucky came back and beat us. And that was a horrible loss because that came the week after – beating number one Alabama and Columbia in dominating fashion. So we've had ups and downs, and everybody knows that being a Gamecock fan is one of the hardest things in the world to be because it looked like from 2010 to 2013 and going into the preseason of 2014, where myself and a few other fellow Gamecock fans were skeptical, but it looked like we had gotten to another level as a football program. And I mentioned this on a previous episode. It's extremely hard, makes it even harder, to be a Gamecock fan when you watch Georgia ascend to the level they seem to be at right now. You know Clemson is at the level that they are right now. And it's a hard pill to swallow, and I hate bringing them up on this podcast. I honestly do. But the bottom line is they are whipping our ass on the field. They're beating us in recruiting. They have beaten us in facilities. Now, that we seem to be catching up on and probably will surpass them. We are making strides under Ray Tanner and the Will Muschamp regime to make things better. But the results aren't there yet. And I heard a lot of people say, I still think we're another year out. We're another 2 years out. Well, what really makes you think that? And, Taylor, do you think that there is any way? And I don't want to be doom and gloom on this whole podcast, but I'm really down about this, man. I was upset Saturday night. And I even made the comment to some people, I don't want to be as emotionally invested as I have been in my life. Most people that know me know that I am a fanatic about Carolina Gamecock football. But I kind of don't want to be a fanatic about it anymore. I still want to follow it. I'm still going to pull like hell for them. But I don't want to be obsessed with it anymore. And the reason why is I don't need that stress in my life. And if somebody wants to knock me and say I'm not a true fan, goddamn it, I bleed garnet. I love it. And I'm sorry for the language. But I don't like feeling how I felt Saturday night. When I get pumped up about something, especially the last several years. Look, we had a good run, but that has been a long time ago. That's been 5 years ago. We're not, and if you want to be honest about that, Taylor, excuse me for spitting. Back then in 2012, we lost two road games. We lost to Florida and LSU, two tough, tough defenses. Florida went on to the Sugar Bowl that year. In 2013, we lost to Georgia, who was better than us. And we lost a fluke game to Tennessee, who I don't feel like was better than us. In 2011, we lost to Arkansas and Auburn. Arkansas was better than us. Auburn was not that year. So every year that we want to consider ourselves elite, we lost two football games. And other than two of those years, when it was LSU and Florida, it wasn't to elite football programs. So in my mind, we were not a top five, top 10 national program. We finished in the top 10 one time, but we weren't a top 10 national program over that era. Do you agree with that? I mean, I'm not asking for like a debate here. I'm upset. I'm mad at where the program is because of how it went off the rails. I've talked about this before. It really drives me insane that, man, I thought like most Gamecock fans thought, that we were taking that next step. And then 2014 happened, where I knew preseason, and I'm not trying to say this just because it's hindsight. This is honest. Anybody that talked to me then knew we were overhyped. I knew going into that A&M game that year, we were going to have to score, 38 points or more, 45 points to win. Hell, that wouldn't have been enough. They scored 52 on us in Columbia, blistered us. I poured sweat in that game. It was hot as hell. It was miserable. And for the rest of that season, that defense let us down time and again. Last season, I finally saw, because I like the same kind of football you like, Taylor. I like to control the clock, play good defense, force turnovers, be able to run the football, and have a balanced attack. Yes, you need to throw the ball to win. You absolutely do. What we don't have at South Carolina, we don't have consistent balance. We had balance against Coastal Carolina. We had balance against Vanderbilt. Coastal's not a horrible team, but Troy just beat the hell out of them. Okay? Troy beat them almost as bad as we did, not quite. Vanderbilt almost lost to Tennessee State the other night. So I don't know how good they are. I thought they were pretty good because they played the Irish close. We walloped them, so they can't be that good. It's just that simple. The Irish were sleepwalking. And I just want to talk facts here. If you don't like my opinion, don't listen to the podcast. But I'm not going to sugarcoat things. I'm not 107.5 the game. The sun is not always shining in Wesley Burris's world. It's not. And my view of the Gamecocks right now is before we even get into this game, I wanted to ramble because I've been holding a lot of stuff in for the last several days. I've only talked to a couple people. I had a buddy call me the other day and ask me what the hell happened. He couldn't watch the whole game. But you know what? I don't know what happened. There are callers today on the halftime show, because I was curious to listen. I was. That were way down on Jake. People are attacking him on Instagram. And this is a kid, man. I don't understand that level of fandom. I don't give a damn how much money you give the university, how long you've pulled for the Gamecocks. If you're screwing around messing with a kid on social media, you're a loser. You're an absolute loser. Because Jake Bentley doesn't owe you a damn thing. He doesn't owe me a damn thing. Not a person wearing garnet black in that stadium. He owes nothing. And all I can say is, if you're attacking him, you're attacking these kids and throwing them under the bus, you got problems. I love Carolina football. You love Carolina football too. You love the Panthers football more, and that's fine. You like the NFL more. I love watching the NFL. We've got it on in the background right now. Got a good ball game going. Interesting ball game. But you know what? Being a fan, and when I say fan is short for fanatic, you know that.
Yes.
It's a problem. It's a problem. It has made a lot of men and women in this country do stupid things. Several years ago, we had a Carolina fan in, I think it was Lexington or Casey, who watched the Clemson-Carolina game with his neighbor. This is back in 2007. And Jad Dean makes the field goal to beat us. The Carolina fan is, you know, he's getting talked negatively to by his Clemson buddy, his next-door neighbor. He goes next door, gets his deer rifle, and shoots his buddy in the chest and kills him. Calls the cops and says, "I just killed my best friend. Come get me." They were drunk and arguing over football. That's moronic. You always hear about stuff going on in Alabama, between Alabama and Auburn fans, fights and all this. It's dumb. It's dumb. The bottom line that you have to do is, I want to separate myself from this a little bit. I still want to do the podcast. I'm going to watch every damn game. I'm going to go to games. I'm going to talk about them with my friends. I'm going to be happy when they win, and I'm going to be sad when they lose. But I want to separate myself a little bit from it and use more logic. These are kids. These are kids. They're not grown men. 18 to 22-year-old boys are not grown men. They're going to make mistakes. They're going to let you down. We don't have the talent that a lot of people in our league have. We were playing from behind as soon as we joined this league. We caught up to them. How long did it take? Over 10 years, or right at 10 years, to be competitive. And then on a consistent basis. And then we fell into a situation where our offense was bad for years. Spurrier pumps that back up. Our defense took a step back. We didn't quite have the horses. He built it back. But that took almost 10 more years. Now we're in another dip period. So going by the trends, it's going to be another 4 or 5 years, if it's possible, to get the level of talent to be consistently competitive with the LSUs, Floridas, Bamas, and Florida's down. But are they going to be down for long? No. Tennessee may be. I don't know if there's hope there. We'll find out in a couple weeks, because we got to play them. We were competitive at times against Kentucky the other night. They weren't lights out better than us. Like I said, it's not all doom and gloom here. But they were better when it mattered. They built a massive lead.
Yeah.
And they held on to it. We held Benny Snell to 99 yards rushing, or 96, whatever it was. We'll go over that in a second. We did what we were supposed to do defensively, other than in the first half. And I saw fighting amongst the players, and I thought the team would quit. And by God, in the second half, I had to get up and be at work early Sunday morning. I almost gave up on the game. And you know what I did? I didn't give up. And that shows what a fan I am. I put getting a good night's rest against watching that ball game. And I watched the rest of it. Now, when Jake threw the pick, I cut it off because I knew it was over then. But, you know, we didn't allow him.
Then it affects your sleep.
It did.
Oh, well, I know.
Because I knew when it was 24-3, you know what I said to myself? I can go lay down now and quit watching him. And I'll think about it for 30 minutes or an hour, but I'll still get good sleep because eventually I'll fall asleep. I'll take some NyQuil. Eventually I'll fall asleep. That would have probably worked. Instead, I watched the rest of it, so I stayed up for another hour and a half or so. Then I couldn't sleep for another. I'm tossed. It's awful, and I don't want to feel like that. I don't want a football game to affect my life in that manner. It's kids playing a game. It puts no money in my pocket unless I bet against them this year. So what is it? I mean, honestly, they don't owe me anything. I get some elation when they win. I'm super frustrated when they go out there and play like they did the other night. But the offense didn't do their job. And Taylor, going into this year, all we heard was, man, you know, up tempo, the offense is going to look better, we're going to do this. Let me tell you what I think. Jake is not an elite quarterback. Nobody can say that anymore. On the road, he is garbage. He has flashes where it looks like he can make every throw in the book. He's athletic. He is. He's more athletic than I thought. At times, he can show some wheels, and he's tough. I'm not taking that away from him, and he's smart. But he makes too many damn mistakes. 7 touchdowns this year, 6 interceptions. Last season, he threw 12. He's already got – we're 5 games – or 4 games in. Right?
Mm-hmm.
4 games in, 6 picks. You've thrown as many as you threw all of last year, or half as many as you did all of last year. Do you expect that number to just be 0 the rest of the year? Because I don't.
No.
He has shown that he's going to turn the ball over. He has shown that he has the grasp of the offense, but he also has happy feet sometimes. When he has a clean pocket, such as he did against Georgia for the majority of the game, he still made mistakes. And Georgia's an elite football team. I really think they are. I don't think Kentucky's on their level. But Kentucky had 8 of their top 10 tacklers back on defense. They had some offensive linemen back. They had Benny Snell back. They've got an athletic quarterback who is an Oregon transfer, so you know he had some talent. They don't ever have bad quarterbacks. They don't really have receivers that can stretch the field, or they haven't been able to get them the football consistently enough to show that they can stretch the field. I was not completely terrified of their offense. I was more worried about what they do defensively. And what they did defensively was slow our running game for the most part. But you know what we did in the first half? The first drive, second drive, Denson got a couple first downs. Denson doesn't see the field anymore. Why? He's a big back that was pushing the pile. And what I feel like, Tyson was banged up, so he didn't play. He's something wrong with his ankle.
Mm-hmm.
But you have Rico, you have AJ, you have Mon. Okay, these are all 3-star better recruits. All of them have shown that they can play. They can all block. They can all catch the ball. Rico struggled a couple times this season catching the ball, but he had a couple big catches the other night. And there was a point in time where I think we were averaging like 6 yards a carry in this game. And we got in a hole, and we had to throw it more, and I understand that. You can't lean on the run when you're down that big. But 24-3, you're not out of the game. How many times in the NFL do you see a team down 17-3, 24-3? Yesterday with the Eagles, 17-3, dominating the football game, they lose. I mean, and not to rub that in your face because you took them, but I'm just saying things like that happen to good football teams where they have a lead and they lose. That crowd was rowdy the other night. That was –
probably the
a bigger atmosphere than they even had the week before, which is crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy. But all that being said, I'm about to jump in the stats and quit ranting and raving, but more is coming because I don't know where this football team is right now. We don't have depth. Wonnum was supposed to be out according to Muschamp. Oh, it's not a major injury. The son of a bitch hadn't played again yet. I mean, we had a bye week. We didn't play Marshall. Might be a good thing. Because they're not a bad football team. They can score. And our defense, our offense has started slow and then tends – I don't know. I really don't know what to think about this offense. Here we have all this talent at wide receiver, and I know we have talent at wide receiver. Shai Smith is a stud. Debo's a stud. Brian's a stud. But we've got 12 drops this year.
I was about to say.
You know that?
They've dropped a lot of passes.
12 drops. Okay? I think it was six the other night. Five or six the other night. Now, excuse me. I'll say this.
Bryan Edwards dropped a big pass.
Yes. But that was underthrown. Yes, but he
dropped it. Hit him in the stomach.
You're damn right. He should have caught it. And that was a huge play.
If a ball hits you in the stomach, the bread basket. You got to catch it.
And then he got hurt, and he wasn't right. He wasn't right mentally. He said it was his worst collegiate game.
A.J. Turner trips over his own feet.
Could have gone in for six. They said at least 10, 15 more yards. There was a lane. He could have got there, maybe.
Just a lot of things went.
Nothing went our way. And you can't win ball games like that. You can't turn the ball over four times. Rico gets the handoff inside the five and just goes to put it in his left hand. Guy just touches it. It falls out. That's how you start the game. Now, then what do we do right after that? We bow up, hold them to a damn field goal. I said, that's a win. You turn it over inside the 5 yard line or 10 yard line and only give up a field goal against a team that runs the ball as effectively as they do, that means you bowed up and that was a win. We go down, we tie it. It's 3-3. Then, boy, the floodgates open. Mm-hmm. They were hitting drag routes over the middle, little end passes over the middle, gashing us in the run game. Whatever adjustments we made, that shows me we have a pretty damn good coaching staff. So I can't be all negative about this team. I'm not going to be like the callers to the halftime show today that are going to just say, oh, well, we don't have the coaching. We've got the players. No, that's wrong. That's backwards. That's backwards. We don't have the players. What did they say on here a while ago that I agreed with? It ain't the X's and O's. It's the Jimmys and the Joes. And we don't have the Jimmys and the Joes right now. Not to compete with a team that's mostly juniors and seniors like Kentucky is. And that's sad. It's not sad to lose to Kentucky, let's say, one out of every 3 years. That's not sad to me. But I know most of Gamecock Nation thought we were beyond this kind of crap. Especially when you go out there and you pound Vandy, you think Vandy's a pretty good team. Pretty high hopes last week. We're a favorite. Somehow, God only knows how, we're a favorite against Missouri this week. And I'll get into that in a little bit because I highly disagree with that logic, 100%. And again, you may think I'm negative. I'm just telling you facts. Nothing I've – and some of it's opinion, but nothing I've said is out of the world wrong, is it? Am I wrong for thinking the way that I think?
No.
If you don't – here's the thing about people saying that I'm negative. When I point out facts and I point out – the way my mind works or the way I perceive things, you can't just say that's negative, you're pessimistic, when I'm going by what I've experienced and what I've seen. If I'm telling you what I've seen or what I've gone through or what I've seen this team do, whatever it may the case may be, and you disagree with it, that's not my problem. That's yours. Don't listen to me. Don't talk to me. Whatever you want to do. It's up to you. And I want guys, I want you to listen to this podcast because I like bringing it to you. But it's days like this, it's very hard to do because I wanted this to be brief and now I've babbled on forever. But I want to get things off my chest because this is my damn podcast. And, you know, I'm a Gamecock fan. Like I said, I am a fanatic. I don't want to be all the time. And I'm trying to work on that. That does not mean that I'm not going to watch this game next this Saturday and pull my ass off for them, because I'm going to. I'm going to cheer for them all the time. This is always going to be my team, no matter what. I've been through them through 0-11, 1-10 the year before that. I'm not going to quit pulling for them. I've seen Clemson beat us 45-0. I've seen them lose to them 63-17, 56-7. I'm still pulling for them. I hate the Clemson Tigers. I hate the Georgia damn Bulldogs. I hate the Kentucky Wildcats. I hate whoever lines up in front of us. Period. So, I don't think I need to prove myself anymore. I think I've gotten some things off my chest. We can move into some more logic and bring you some facts about what happened the other day. Because I do understand the frustration with Jake Bentley. I did not think he was going to be the golden boy when he got here. There are some fans that believe he's only playing because Bobby's his dad. I think that's trash. He is playing, even going out there and committing turnovers, because Michael Scarnecchia, Dekarion Joyner, and Jay Urich cannot push him. Obviously, they are not that good. Now, I know a lot of people will say, oh, you never know. You turn somebody loose out there on Saturday, we've got a bunch of really smart fans right now that think Skarneckis should be the guy because he came out there and went like 4 or 5 the other day for 50 yards, you know, against some scrubs. Yeah, he should be the guy. He's been there how long? 5 years? Whatever. You know, Spurrier was high on him. They say he can run the offense. You know, I'm not against giving a guy a shot. I'm not. But I know that Jake Bentley is the best quarterback we have. And that's what's sad. Because I don't think he's very, very good. You know, last year I was saying, I think this kid can, if he improves, he might can make an NFL roster. Would he play in the NFL? I really don't think so. But I thought he might could make a roster. Like he's got a big arm. He's a big kid.
It's like I told somebody the other day. I feel like a lot of – there's somebody out there that's going to see him as a – as like a project in the NFL because they – he might. He's not going to get drafted, but I could see him signing.
With somebody.
Yeah.
Well, we've had guys that have done that. Blake Mitchell.
Yeah. Like somebody, they say, hey.
They didn't sign.
This guy can.
Gruden looked at him.
This guy can throw, and maybe we can do something with him. And
I just don't think so now at this point. I don't. I think they see
the turnovers. It's getting less and less.
Right. The turnovers don't help.
Yeah.
And the fact that I know that Werner has a good mind and brought a good scheme here, that's the thing. A lot of people are negative because they think that Bobby Bentley – this is just callers. I'm not saying this is the majority of Gamecock Nation. They think that Bentley has too much input on the offense, and I'm going to call bullshit on that because I know that McClendon and they've already told us preseason, and I believe them. I believe Will when he says this, that it was kind of like a commission, like a committee, and McClendon was going to be the head of it. But he's going to take input from everybody, and they're going to form the offense – around what Werner brought, what McClendon wants to run. Bentley has some input. Look, Bobby Bentley's not sitting there telling him, if you don't play Jake, I'm walking. Who gives a damn? But we got Bobby Bentley for a couple reasons. He was has always been a successful coach, and he's a good recruiter. And he can recruit the state. He can help us in the upstate. That's why I feel like we got him. He's got ties up there. Coached at Burns, all of that. Clemson is smoking us recruiting the upstate. And always has. But now we're not winning our own state and recruiting like we were years ago. We're not doing that anymore. And not only that, is Georgia and other teams can come in here and cherry pick some guys again. And that wasn't happening for a while. The Alshons, the Jadavions, the guys like that, the freaks, they were staying here and they were coming to Columbia. And they're not now. And there's not that many. Honestly, the talent in the state has gone up top to bottom. But the elite level talent hasn't been here the last few years, in my mind. You got guys like Rico and Tyson. Tyson left, went to North Carolina. He came back. And now he's banged up. And to me, Tyson looks like the toughest runner that we have. But I like Mondesen as well. And we've only seen flashes of him. He looks like he pushes the pile. I like the way he looks. But I don't like this running back by committee when you let a guy run and he has a few good runs, and you take him out and you put the other guy in just to play him. I don't like that approach. I think you go with the hot hand. If Mon's pushing the pile and getting a few first downs, let him stay in the ballgame until he does something wrong. That's the way I look at it. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's get into this Kentucky game so we can move on in this podcast, and I'll babble some more, I'm sure, in a little bit. Let me pull up the Gamecast here. Big loss, of course. Kentucky gets on the board first, 10 minutes and 6 seconds left in the first quarter on a 29-yard field goal after we had turned it over and gave them an easy 3 there. But it was a win. Parker White, we go down the field, 5 minutes, 7 seconds left in the first quarter. We tie it up at 3. Terry Wilson gets a 1-yard run after a big drive. They go up 10-3. Asim Rose gets a 24-yard gashing run. They go up 17-3, and Benny Snell punches it in from 4 yards out with 4:53 left in the half. They go up 24-3. The only other scoring in the rest of the game, Debo takes a 58-yard pass from Jake Bentley. That was underthrown, by the way. And that was it for the scoring. Now, I'm going to read some stats here. Taylor, you chime in if you'd like. We had the edge in first downs 20-19. These stats are going to kind of blow your mind a little bit. Third down efficiency, we were 5 of 15. They were 3 of 12. Fourth down efficiency, we were 2 of 3. They were 1 of 1. Total yards. How many more total yards do you think they had than us? Just take a guess.
Not many.
6. They had the edge 327 to 321. We had the edge in passing 193 to 132. We completed 17 passes, 17 out of 34 attempts. They completed 13 out of 20. We had 5.7 yards a pass. They had 6.6. Jake threw three picks. They threw one. Rushing, pretty big advantage here. We had 128 on 35 attempts for a 3.7 average. They had 195 on 46 attempts for 4.2. So they ran 66 plays in this ball game. That is a team that wants to shorten the game, play defense, and get out of there. We ran 69 plays. So not as many as we'd like to, obviously. We should be a 190 to 100 play a game type of team when you're going up tempo the way that we are. That last drive, as I mentioned, went something like 9 minutes and no points. Jake threw a pick. It was backbreaking. Four turnovers. We had three picks and a fumble. They had the edge by almost 10 minutes in time of possession. So they did everything that they wanted to do. As I said a while ago, if you'd have told me that we were going to hold Benny Snell to 99 rushing yards on 28 carries, so he had way less than 4 yards a carry, it's about 3.5, a little over 3.5, and one touchdown, I would have told you we'd win the football game. But our leading rusher was Rico Daddle, 13 carries for 44 yards. Just not getting it done. Two catches for Debo, 61 yards. The other catch was only 3 yards. He had the big touchdown. Non-factor. Drops, like I said, was big. It looked to me early on, especially after the first couple of drives, that we didn't come to play. That's what it looked like to me. Both of us went 3 and out to start with, and then we fumbled, and they got the quick score, and we went down and tied it up. I thought, okay. And then after that, we just looked lost. We had defensive players fighting, slapping each other in the helmet, pushing each other. I thought we had given up. Whatever happened at halftime, they straightened things out. I thought the offensive line moved them fairly well in the run game at times, not all game. And I feel like in the passing game, we were kind of lost. Our right tackle got whipped all day. It's that simple. He got whipped all day. Jake had happy feet. He didn't make his progressions. I don't think he read the field as well as he wanted to. I feel like they should have really simplified the game for him in the second half when they saw that he – what did he go? Was it 3 for 9 or 2 for 9 in the first half? Oh, no, he had 9 passing yards in the first half. That's what it was. 9 passing yards in the first half of football. And he's supposed to be an elite – I've never in my life seen an average quarterback only have 9 yards in the first half, let alone an elite quarterback. And speaking of elite quarterbacks, we face one this week. And they're coming off a bye week. They're fresh as a daisy. We're banged up like hell. We've been through a long game against Vandy that went our way. Had the bye week before that, but all the turmoil here in the state, I know that a lot of the players' minds are on that as well. I mean, think about it. And I'm not using that as an excuse. But as I said earlier, these are kids. These aren't grown men. Most of them aren't. They look like grown men. They're humongous. They're strong. They're fast. They're talented. But they don't have the grown men's mentality. And right now, we're just not winners. We don't have that winning mentality. That's what I feel with this football team. This team doesn't have a swagger that I feel they should have. The defense has taken a step back in my mind. They make plays sometimes where they look legit, but our D-line gets very little push. We're very weak on the defensive line, and I know we're banged up, and we have some players missing and guys that are nicked up and whatnot. We're just not SEC-level defensive line. We're not. And like they were saying the other night, T.J. Brunson looks like he came to play, but he's one of the few on the defense early on that did. So I'm going to wrap the Kentucky game up and just say that was just a dumpster fire. It could have been a lot worse. The defense stepped up and kept us in it. We had opportunities in the second half. If the offense steps up and does a damn thing, it's 24-10. I think there was – I want to say there was like 9 minutes left, 8 minutes left in the third. Maybe I'm wrong. I can look at that again and see. Let's see real quick. Yeah, 7:37 left in the third. It's 24-10. That's a ton of ball left. And then when your defense goes out there and you held them to 90 yards in the second half out of their 327, 90, and you can't get the job done, that's pathetic, Taylor. Pathetic. We deserve to lose. We did lose. It was convincing. I don't know how in the hell handicappers have us as a favorite against Missouri. I guess it's the fact that their defense isn't spectacular, but our offense has shown me really nothing other than the Coastal Carolina game where we just overmatched them. We were better at every position than them. And the Vanderbilt game where we overmatched them, we were better at every position than them. We're not better at every position than Missouri. We rolled them last year. We did. And I could see where that might be where people think.
False hope.
Maybe. But we'll get into some Missouri numbers real quick, and then we'll run into the predictions. Because I'm honestly almost sick of talking about it, thinking about it. And I need to hit the hay so I can go to a damn sales meeting tomorrow morning and probably get chewed out for not selling enough Heineken. So, Carolina is favored by 2 against the Missouri Tigers. This is a noon kickoff. Missouri's 3-1. Gamecocks, 2-2. So not where we wanted to be right here. I think in the preseason, you and I both predicted Missouri to beat us on our season outlook, the first episode we did. We did not predict to lose to Kentucky, right? We predicted a loss to Georgia, and we predicted a loss to Missouri. So we thought at this point in time that we would have 3 W's under our belt. And I was apprehensive about picking us against Kentucky that early. And now Kentucky has shown me they are a good football team. I'm taking nothing away from Kentucky. But guess what? The Gamecocks beat themselves the other night. That's the bottom line. We lost the first half, but we could have easily won the second half and won that ball game. There is no doubt in my mind that's what's so frustrating. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
All right. Yes.
Yes, I do.
Missouri is scoring 40 points a game, and they're giving up 26.7. That lets me know their offense is pretty damn sporty. They have not played very good competition. They beat some bullcrap 1AA team first game. They beat Wyoming, which everybody seems to be beating the hell out of Wyoming this year. They lost Josh Allen, who looks absolutely horrible in the pros, but he might not have gone to a worse team than he ended up with. He looked bad the other day, but that wasn't his fault. Since they lost him, Wyoming has not been that good this season. People are beating them up pretty good. And they lost to Georgia by 14, a game where they committed like 4 turnovers. They were in that game some. Georgia jumped on them early, ran a punt back, ran a fumble back. So, yeah, that's part of football. It's if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, you know, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. But Missouri did get back in the game against Georgia and came back and ended up covering the spread, at least. Drew Locke on the season, who I think is the best quarterback in the SEC, no matter how many people tell you Tua is, I don't think he is. I think Drew Locke's the best quarterback in the SEC. I do. I think he's the best pro prospect in the SEC. That's my opinion. 6'4", 225 kid. We know he can run a little bit. We know he can sling it. 62.7% completion on the season. 1,283 yards, 11 touchdowns, and 2 picks. He also has 58 rushing yards. They're led in the backfield by Larry Roundtree III. He's a 5'10", 210-pound sophomore. 55 carries for 293 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5.3 a carry.
Roundtree.
Yeah. Now, they have a multi-headed monster back there in the backfield. You'll recognize this name, Gamecock fans. Demaria Crockett's back. He's a 5'11", 225 big-time junior who's got some moves. 50 carries for 199 yards, 1 touchdown, just under 4 yards a carry. He has been usurped by Roundtree as the starting tailback this season, but he's still contributing, still a big-time playmaker. He can get the tough yards, no doubt about it. We've seen that up close and personal. Tyler Beatty is their third leading rusher. He's 5'9", 190-pound freshman, 44 carries for 189 yards, a touchdown. He's got 4.2 a carry. At receiver, they have an absolute stud, Emmanuel Hall, who is a senior, 6'3", 195-pound speed demon, 18 catches for 430 yards, 3 touchdowns, 24 yards a reception so far this season. Now, a lot of that's against inferior competition because Drew Locke's numbers were awful against Georgia. They couldn't get much going against the Bulldogs at all. Jonathan Johnson's the second leading receiver, 5'10", 180-pound little water bug, 18 catches for 200 yards, 3 touchdowns, 11 yards of reception. And Albert Okwabonham is a 6'5", 255-pound sophomore that plays tight end, their third leading receiver. He's 23 catches, 181 yards, 2 touchdowns, 7.8 a carry. He's a red zone threat, big-time target. That's a matchup problem for us, especially being banged up at safety. You put a linebacker on a guy like that who can run a little bit, man, it's going to be problems. And they had 3 turnovers against Georgia. So that kind of tells you the tale of why. And Georgia scored on all 3 of them. So that's why Georgia beat them. They played Georgia a lot more competitively than we did for more of the ball game than we did. The score was a little bit better. But I think on paper preseason, most people would say we were about even. I want to get into the predictions. You've listened to me babble. You've listened to me read you off some stats here. I want to know your thoughts of Carolina laying 2 points Saturday. I don't feel that's the final line at all. I feel like that swings in Missouri's favor big time. Maybe not, because the public perception is that Kentucky is legit. So we'll see against A&M this weekend if they are, because, you know, that's a tough one, man, and that's on the road. What do you think?
Lose.
What's your final score? Hate to put you on the spot like this, but I've been talking quite a bit. So.
By 2 touchdowns.
You think we lose by 2 touchdowns?
I think it's going to be bad.
You think we get anything going offensively? Their defense is
late.
Gives up a lot of yards. They do. There's potential there for big plays. Can we not turn the ball over? Can we play keep away? Can we get a ground game going? That's what I want to see, man. Against Vandy, we had, what, like 290-something rushing yards. I feel like if we can do that to them, we should be able to do that to Missouri. There's a chance. Kentucky's front was very good, but we had opportunities in the run game. For whatever reason, we went away from it late. I didn't like a lot of the play calling last week. I hope to see that cleaned up some this week. There's a chance. I hate doing this podcast almost before the presser, but Will Muschamp doesn't give you too much information when it comes to injuries. Obviously, he kind of fibbed a bit about Wonnum, or he undersold it a little bit earlier in the year, and we miss him sorely. We don't have a big pass rush, and that's what I think is going to hurt us against Locke, is I feel like he'll be able to dissect our defense. I really do. I think that's where our problem is. I feel we need to score more than 5 touchdowns or more to win this ball game. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So you think it could get
– It's going to be high scoring on one side or both sides.
Well, noon kicks, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I feel like the road team has the advantage for whatever reason. That seems to be the case, especially with the Gamecocks. We don't play well at noon at home. I don't like it. I would rather be the road team at noon. It is what it is, though. I'm going to watch this game and hopefully not be sickened to death like I was last week, and maybe want to watch some more college football throughout the day. If we lose this game, I might go crawl in my bed and take some NyQuil or something and curl up in a ball and sob a little bit. I don't really know. And like I said, I'm trying to move away from being that fanatic, but it's hard. I'm probably not going to be able to do it. It's like crack, what I would assume crack is like for people. I've never partaken in that myself. So you want my prediction, and this might piss a lot of people off and rub people the wrong way. I think Missouri is going to come in here and dice us up a little bit. I think our defense can make some plays here and there. I think they're going to score a lot. I really do. I think they can hit 38 on us, maybe more, and I'm going to give a prediction here. I think this is going to be like a 38-24 type of game. So I'm right in line with you that I think this is probably a 2-score win for Missouri. I hate to say that. I hope I'm really wrong. I really do. I hope we go out not quite like last year and dig ourselves a hole and have to return a kick by Debo. But hopefully Debo can get started up, because he has really done little of nothing this season. Nothing like he started last season. And that's a shame, man, because with him and Brian Edwards out there, who I feel are 2 NFL wide receivers, Shy Smith as well is probably an NFL wide receiver in my mind. And out of the 3 of them, Edwards has the most catches, I believe, but Shy Smith's the biggest playmaker on the football team right now. He's our biggest big play threat. So we need Debo to step up. We need all of them to step up. For the most part, we need the line to hold up. We need Jake to not make mistakes. We need Rico or somebody to step up in that backfield, be a leader. If we need to get Mon Denson more reps, so be it. I don't give a damn who runs the ball. I don't care if Muschamp suits up and goes and runs the ball. If it's effective, I don't give a damn. I just want to win. But I don't feel like we're going to this week. I feel like the hangover of being beaten up last week, the scrutiny, all of this can weigh on young minds. I think Missouri is rested. It's just a bad time to play them. I think we might get back on track by the time we play the Vols. At least I hope so, because they don't look very good to me. I think athletically we're better than them, but I don't know if we are better than Missouri. As I said earlier, I picked them to be a dark horse player. Taylor knows that. I'm on record as doing so. You can go back and listen to old podcasts and hear that. I think Missouri is going to have a good year. I did think they would lose to Georgia. I think they get the job done in Columbia. I hope I'm wrong. But I think they're a two-score winner against the Gamecocks this week. And I hate that I'm admitting it. But it is what it is. And you know what? It's tough being a Gamecock fan, Taylor. But we are. And we're going to continue to be. We're not going to quit pulling for them. So thanks for listening, guys, to the Cock of the Walk podcast, a Win or Die Sports production. We'll be back next Monday, hopefully with some better news and a better mood. And I thank you for listening, and we'll see you then.